on in our journey, because we are on a journey, amen? And that journey is leading us to the place where God wants us to be as a church. And I think that this is a journey that every church is on. I don't think it's specific to us. I think it's something that every church is on. If you're truly a church of Jesus Christ, we are on a journey, and it's all going to take different forms and different paths, the way people say it, to get us to the same place. But that's because we are all different. However, the path is the path of God's choosing. And that's what we need to remember, that we are found along God's way, and that means to be in His Word and in His will. So if you would today, turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in chapter 12. And if you noted in the Bible, or in the bulletin in the Bible, I'm holding the Bible in my hand, the title for today's sermon is "The Passover Sets Us Free." And it does come to us from Exodus 12. And I think that this is something that is so amazing because, you know, looking at the book of Exodus and remembering the Bible story here of the exodus of Israel from Egypt, we think of the last plague, the plague of the firstborn, as being that which finally set the people free. But that's not truth, okay? That happened, but that's not what set the people free. What truly set the people free is what I'm going to explain to you here today. Because the plague could not bring freedom. Only the Passover lamb could bring freedom. For you see, death must come. And the lamb is our substitute. If you look with me in verses 1 through 6 in chapter 12, let us read. "Thus saith the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, 'This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight.'" One lamb was used for a family. And if the family was too small, you were to go to your nearest neighbor around you, whom you could share a lamb with, to use as your sacrificial supper. I hope we understand the comparison that God was giving us here. Because the one lamb, a physical lamb, could only cover so many. But the lamb who was yet to come, the lamb whom this Passover meal represented, covered everybody. Because the physical lamb was only so big and could only be divided so far out. But the spiritual lamb who was yet to come, whom all these things pointed to, his death, his sacrifice, is big enough for everyone who would believe, past, present, and future. For he is our eternal lamb. For he is God himself. And as Israel was coming at this point in time into something that they had never had any idea about, Israel had no idea what was going on. What would you do if I came to each and every one of you and I stood up front here and said, "Okay, today's the first day of the month, and in 10 days I want you all to go get a lamb and a goat. I want you to take it and put it in your house and raise it for 4 days. Miss Pauline, would you take a goat into your house and raise it for 4 days? No. She's being honest. These people were told just that. Why on earth would you do this? They had never done it before. I hear it in the church all the time. That's not the way we've done it in the past. Praise God, we don't have a past. We're a new beginning. There is no past for us. There is only now and what will be. And God has set it down in His Word for what we're to follow. And God says there is a sacrificial lamb. And we know His name to be Jesus Christ. To the glory to God. Amen. Amen. As you and I come to that first sacrificial table, we need to realize too, we're sharing that lamb with every brother and sister who's sitting around you. And not only the ones who are sitting around you now, how many of you have empty seats sitting beside you around you? Okay, you look around, you see those empty seats? We want to see those seats filled. Praise God, I know those seats are going to be filled. Praise God, I know that we're going to add more seats to those seats. This center aisle is going to become about 3.5 feet wide, and they're going to go the whole way out to the line on both sides and all the way to the back, and the tables are going to have to move, and then we're going to have to think about going to two services. You think I'm joking? I am looking at what God has in the future. I expect to meet God now. I expect the Lamb to be here now. I expect Him to cover us and to fill each and every one of us. But the fullness of God goes beyond anything we can imagine. These poor people had to kill and slaughter hundreds and thousands of lambs to cover all of them. We have but one Lamb. And He covers not only us, but all who will come after us, all who have come before us, who have accepted the name of Jesus Christ. So too with the very people here that we read of out of Exodus. For in their believing, in their faith, believing Jesus Christ covers them. How much faith did it take for these people to do this strange and new thing? We're in the midst of a strange and new thing. How much faith does it take for a people to do a strange and new thing? How much faith did it take for Miss Carly to get up here and sing for the first time in front of a whole congregation? Praise God she did, because she'll grow because of it. And we too will grow because of our faith, receiving that Lamb and covering each and every one of us. And that because of His eternal nature by faith. Hence we have our sacrament of communion. And understanding that though these people partook of a physical meal, we partake of a spiritual meal that covers us for all time. You see, the physical meal, they had to keep doing that every year. In our lives, we only have to do it once. But then God asks us to remember it every day, and we continue to partake of that meal in communion with God, so we do remember. Amen? But the reality is, you partake it once, and then it's yours for all time. If you stay in it. But God's not done with Israel, with killing a lamb and eating a lamb. He has more instruction for them. And from verse 7 through 11, He says these words. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meal roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs. And bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire. Head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. All of the lamb was to be used, not just part, but the whole. And none was to be left. If any of it was left till morning, it was to be burned up. Why? Is our Lord Jesus still here? Is there anything left of him in the grave? Absolutely not. He is gone. For he came back from the dead and is raised to the glory of God at the right hand of God the Father. So therefore there is no tomb with his bones, and he is gone. You see, he entered into hell and was consumed on our behalf. What? You just heard that. He entered into hell and was consumed on our behalf. The payment we owed, he paid. But glory be to God, to the eternal nature of Jesus Christ the Son, and to his glory he raised from the dead, because he was and is completely and totally sinless, and the grave could not hold him, even though he went there with sin on him. It wasn't his sin, it was ours. And as soon as he shed that sin in hell where it belongs, he was able to come up from the grave. These people had to consume that which was the lamb. We too must consume that which is the lamb. We must take into ourselves his righteousness through spiritual means. That is part of our communion. That is part of what we do as we partake of the body and blood of the Lord. We do not waste any part of him, because every part of Jesus Christ is holy and whole and perfect. None of him is wasted. And we too must remember in that, when we partake of him, how much of you is to be whole and holy, and how much of you is to be wasted on the world? None. Absolutely none. Because now you become one of his, and you are holy too. For whoever partakes of the holy meal is holy themselves. That's God's word. And as we understand it and we come into this reality, here these people are doing this strange and wonderful thing, and they're not they're not doing anything but what the very word of Christ, of God, tells them to do. They're trusting in a man who came into their midst. They knew him for a time. He left for 40 years. And now all of a sudden he's back as an 80-year-old man telling these people what to do. How many of us like people telling us what to do? But you know what? God tells us what to do all the time. The question is, are you listening? Are we listening? Because if God's speaking through the man, and we aren't listening to the man, are we not listening to the man, or are we not listening to God? We're not listening to God. And my reality is this. I don't want you to follow me. Far be it that you follow me, but that you follow the Lord. And if you hear the Lord working through me, if you hear the Lord in the words of the Scriptures that the Father puts before me, then follow the Word. Because that's what these people did. They didn't put their trust in Moses. Remember what I told the children about the faith of a mustard seed? They believed that what was being done, because they believed. Why did they believe? Because they saw the plagues. What were the plagues for? We learned that last week. The plagues were to teach Israel that God is God of the universe. Not only Israel, but Egypt and all the world. So the plagues didn't set them free. The plagues showed them that they were truly dealing with God. What set them free was the Passover. The taking by faith, that little faith, that this is what we're supposed to do. And believing and holding in it, we're going to be protected. Why was that so important? What was the plague that was coming? was the plague of the firstborn, that every firstborn would die. And these people did not want to see that plague touch their families, touch their lives. Because that meant at least one person in every household was going to die. At least one. Now, I want you to think about that. Because what if the mother was the firstborn of a family? And the father was a firstborn of a family. And then they had their family who had a firstborn. And guess what? They were up in years. So they had children and there was three or four little ones there. All of a sudden, you could have four people in one household dead. Do you see how this builds? We think about one person in a household dead. No, 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 no. Remember, these people did not live the way we live today with a husband and a wife and kids. Grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and great-grandpa and whoever else was living, and you know what, brothers and their families would often live together. There could be whole communities living in a dwelling. You're not talking one dead person in a house. You're talking many. How many dead people were walking in the house of God today? What? What did Pastor just say? Do you realize every church of the living Lord has dead people walking in it? Because we go to church because it's what we're supposed to do. It's how I get to heaven. I come to church. I pay my tithe. I put my time in, and Jesus punches my ticket. I don't know what train you got on, but it ain't the train I'm riding out of here. Because when you come into the house of the Lord, it's because you've given yourself to the Lord. And what He does with you is His business. But the hope you have in Jesus Christ is knowing that your eternity is secure because you're building a relationship to get to know Him. Miss Carly spoke my sermon right there. All I am, I give unto Him. That's what our lives are to be. To believe by faith. You know, like I said to the kids, you know, oftentimes, Lord, I need just a little bit more faith. No, no, no. You want a coconut? You don't need a coconut. You need a mustard seed. How many of you would like to carry a coconut around in your pocketbook? Guys, what pocket are you going to put it in to carry it? All right? All you need is that little spark, because it's all it takes. And I love that song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it is with God's love. Oh, my, I wish I could sing. We don't need a lot. We need a little. But we need to exercise that little, because the more we exercise that little, the more it becomes a lot. Okay? I can remember when I first started. I'm an archer, and you all know that. I remember when I first started shooting bow. My dad gave me a 45-pound recurve bow. He said, when you can shoot this and put every arrow in a 9-inch pie plate out to 30 yards, I'll take you hunting. And that was about all the instruction I got, besides the fact that I was wasting too many arrows. And I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced. I'll tell you, when I first started drawing that bow, I was lucky if I could get it back halfway. And I thought I was a big kid. Till I was 15 or 14 years old. I started at 12. Till I was 2 years it took me. I was able to draw that 45-pound bow all the way back. And every arrow I shot was in a 9-inch pie plate out to 30 yards. When I did that, my dad said, huh, I thought it'd take you at least another year. But we exercise. We have to exercise our faith. And our Father who is in heaven isn't like my Father here on earth who discourages us, but He encourages us. by giving us opportunities to exercise that faith. Why do you think the things happen to us here on earth? Oh, is me, poor me. No, praise God that happened to me. I get to exercise my faith. Lord Jesus, I love you. Whatever's happening to me, hey, if it's my end, bring on glory. Here I come. But if it's not, get me through this thing, because I know you're going to use it to glorify yourself. How many of us feel that way when aversion comes? Yeah, I know you do. We should all feel that way. Because as we exercise our faith, as we partake of this holy meal, it strengthens us for the unseen and the unforeseen, the known and the unknown. Here these people were doing something new. We're doing something that we know is not new. How do we know it? Because they were doing it over 5,000 years ago. We're simply following in the same path. So let us be on the proper path, and let us follow the God of glory and the God of hosts. The second thing that we need to know and we need to remember is the blood of the Lamb will be the sign so God will pass over us. I want you to think about what we've already learned and where we're going to go now. Look at verse 12 and 13. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. Then I will see the blood, I will pass over you, no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Folks, death is going to come. It has to. It's part of the curse. But it doesn't hold us if God sees the blood. Now I want you to think about this. Here's these people in Egypt, and they're being told they need to make a lamb supper. They got to roast the whole thing, innards in it. Did you catch that? Okay, they're not gutting this thing. They're not cleaning it out. They're skinning it. They're running a rod through it, and they're baking it over a fire, everything there. How many of you want to eat that meal? It seems strange. Yes, it does seem strange to trust one that we've never seen, never known. But when we do, we're building our faith. And when we obey God, God meets us. And God then went on and told him, I want you now to take some of the blood from that offering, from that lamb, and I want you to smear it on your post. How many of you want to paint your house red? Now that Miss Pauline says she might do, okay? I might paint it red. But the reality is, we're not talking about red paint, we're talking about the blood of the Lamb. And when every one of us receives Jesus Christ, we are covered in the blood of the Lamb. Because God no longer sees us, but He sees the eternal nature of His Son. He sees the sacrifice of His Son. He sees that the penalty has been paid, that life was given, that death may pass it by, because it does not have to die again. It is appointed unto man to die, and then the judgment. We have no judgment, for Jesus Christ is our Lamb, and the blood of Christ is poured out over us on the lintels of our hearts, that we may be passed over by the spirit of death. For we, though we may die physically, we will not die spiritually, for we will be with Him in heaven. These are the realities of being set free. As we look at this a little bit further, I want you to read with me the next several verses. He says, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come, You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a secret assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought you your divisions out of Egypt. I'm getting ahead of myself. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you're to eat bread made without yeast. From the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day, for 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. There is so much important stuff in this. I could preach the next 6 months on just these few verses, but I can't do that. We've got too much to cover. So I'm going to say this. Do you see in there the sevens? Do you see all the sevens in there? How important is what God is saying here? What does the number seven represent? Perfection. It says on the seventh day, on the first day, on the seventh day, on the first day, on the seventh day, and then on the 14th day, that's 2 times 7. Which is 2 times perfection. And then on the 21st day, that's 3 times perfection. What does it say here? This is it. There is nothing else. This is the perfection of God multiplied by 3. Only the blood of the Lamb can save you. Eat no unleavened bread. What's unleavened bread? What does yeast stand for in the Scriptures? Sin. Let no sin enter in. 7 times 3. Let no sin enter in. Anyone who partakes of sin on purpose will not enter in. That's God's word, not mine. You got a problem with the author? Get on your knees and talk to him. Okay? He wrote it. I have to obey it. And it can be tough sometimes, can it, folks? But the reality is, God says this is the way it is, this is the way it will be, this is the way it must be, this is the way it will always be. No yeast. Get rid of the sin. And remember, we're talking intentional sin here. Because you know when there's yeast in your bread. Because you put it there. Eat unleavened bread, for this is the only way. Through the blood of Christ, sin no more, and salvation is yours. For the Passover shall pass you by. That's God's word. Isn't that a wonderful word? For in obedience, we can come under the blood of the Lamb, and we are set free. The final piece that I want to talk to you about, because I got to end this plane. We got a lot to do here yet today. And I'm not going to rush it. You're going to get it all. Is the reality that we must obey God's instructions when we come into the land. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we left the place and we've come part way. Are we in the land yet? No. I'm going to tell you something right now. Many of you are thinking, well, you know, what's the vision of the church? What's the plan? What's the future? I've laid it out in a timeline. There's only 2 people in this entire church who have seen the timeline. My wife and Bobby Bolts. Well, Miss Beth saw it because she gets their email. We're having an elders meeting tomorrow. At that elders meeting, all the other elders are going to be made fully aware of a 2.5 year plan that the Lord has laid out in my heart. And I'm going to take them beyond the 2.5 years that you're going to see into 5 years from now. And I'll tell you this, to give you a hope, to give you a future. By the year 2015, we will actually be looking at a piece of property to purchase and build. Now please remember, I'm speaking prophetically right now. For years, I stopped speaking prophetically as the pastor of another church, because every time I did, people stripped the power of the authority of the pastorship from me. It's not going to happen here. God has told me where we're walking, and that's where we're walking. You may follow, and I pray that you do, because it's going to be a glorious future. But if you don't want to follow, go start your own church. It's what God made me do. It's what He's asking you to do. There is a hope. There is a future. God has that plan set out for us, and we need to obey His word. Look at what He says to Israel here, continuing on from the 21st verse. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood, into the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as the promise, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' The people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials in all Egypt got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a household without someone dead." Brothers and sisters, if we're not willing to obey the Lord, our household is going to have someone in it who's dead. That's plain and simple. But if we're willing to follow the decrees of God by faith, God will set the increase of eternity into our lives, and He will take us forward. How much faith does it take to believe this stuff? I don't know about you, but I'm not carrying around a bunch of coconuts. I'm carrying around the seed of faith that God gave me years ago, and I'm building on it, for He has laid a foundation, and there is no other foundation than Jesus Christ, and that foundation has already been laid, and every man should take account of what he builds upon it. That's God's word. Why? Because the scripture goes on from there and says, "For it will be tested by fire, and what the man has built will be plainly seen. For he who builds with wood, hay, and straw, it'll be burned up. But he who builds with precious gold, silver, and stones, gems, they will last unto eternity. For the day will bring it to light." And you and I need to remember, this is exactly what we're doing. Are we building this kingdom? Are we building in God's kingdom on the Word of God, on the promise of God, on the faith of God, believing that He has a plan and a purpose for us? Or are we just going about this for ourselves? Because if we are, let's all make a membership and charge a fee to come in, and we'll make a whole lot more money. It ain't about money. It's not about fees. It's about a relationship on faith with Jesus Christ. And God has said the Passover will set us free. How many of you this day, and you have no idea how much I wanted to prepare a communion today, but that was my heart. And the Lord said, no, no. And I said, but Lord, why not? It's a perfect place. Call the people together and have them commit. Da-da-da-da-da. He said, yeah, that's what you want to do. He said, I want them to stew on this. I want them to chew on this. He says, my time's coming. You listen to me. And I just turn it up to him and I say, man, I think we're missing an opportunity, Dad. He says, that's quite all right. You just keep on thinking. But do what I tell you to do. Because, oh boy, right now I just want to throw some wine and some bread up here and call the family together. And no. God says, I will call my people together. I will prepare the meal. And when they partake of it from my hands, then they're partaking of faith. And not because you drove them to it, but because I've called them to myself. Which is more important, folks? So today I'm asking you, take this message home. Look at what I've said. Draw upon these scriptures and ask the Lord to illuminate your heart, because death comes. But what awaits you in the morning? Israel got up in the morning and death had passed her by. And they were able to leave because the Passover had set them free. And you and I need to accept that Passover into our lives, casting off the things of the past and moving into the future that God has for us, because it's a glorious future filled with hope, filled with His will, filled with His resources, filled with His power, filled with His grace and His love and His purpose. And I don't know about you, but I can't build that kingdom. Only God can, through us, together, in obedience, with faith the size of a mustard seed. So if you're carrying a coconut today, throw it away. And take that mustard seed of faith and begin using it. I don't need a bunch of nuts. I need people who are willing to plant a seed, a little seed, and watch it grow into the greatest tree in the garden. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious Lord, you've given us so much here to chew up today. But Lord, it's no more than we can handle, and it's what we need. For it is the meat of your word, Lord. So Father, I pray that as we submit ourselves to your word, as we take this home and study your word, coming back through it and looking at it and chewing it up with you, and understanding that, Lord, it is your Passover that has set us free. It's nothing that we do. It's everything that you've done. And as we follow in obedience through faith, death passes us by. And we can live that new life for your purpose. Father God, that purpose includes those who are out there on the streets and the highways and the byways, even now. The people in our lives that we work with, that we know aren't attending church and don't have a relationship. Lord, all we need to do is speak a loving, kind word to them and be the witness of Christ to them. Giving as you gave, loving as you've loved, and receiving as by faith so too do we receive. But Lord, not unto us, unto you. Father God, guide us and keep us through this week. Protect us and hold us as we go into our congregational meeting. And may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' holy name, amen.